Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? Yeah, not great for our already struggling environment. That's why I'm so excited to talk about our partner today, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. And the concept is pretty simple. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. I literally just tried out the laundry tablet, and instead of having to bring my huge container like I normally do down the hall, I just brought the one tablet and my clothes came out so clean, just as clean as normal. I'm fully on board. It just makes my life easier and I'm helping the environment. And the best part, Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/dateable for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off.
The Dateable podcast is an insider's look into modern dating that the Huffington Post calls one of the top 10 podcasts about love and sex. On each episode, we'll talk to real daters about everything from sex parties to sex droughts, date fails to diaper fetishes, and first moves to first loves. I'm your host, Yue Xu, former dating coach turned dating sociologist. You'll also hear from my co-host and producer, Julie Krafchik, as we explore this crazy dateable world.
Hello, Dateables. Welcome to another episode of the Dateable podcast, where we are going to dissect everybody's motives when it comes to dating, but also eat all the turkey we can this week, because this is the only week anybody's eating turkey. Am I right? Who else? Like, when else are you eating turkey?
It is a big week for us. A big week for all.
Big week for turkeys.
Happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners, first and foremost. But what are your Thanksgiving plans, UA? I don't think we've actually caught up on this even.
No, we haven't. My partner and I are going down to my parents' house, and the four of us plus our two dogs are going to have a very festive Thanksgiving together. My mom really loves it when during the holidays there seems to be a lot of commotion. She feels like you need a noisy holiday. She always says that. Mm. Feels more festive. So we're going to, bring the dogs, obviously, because they're noisy, and we're going to make all the sides, but my mom's going to make the goose. Ooh. We're not doing turkey. She's making a goose.
So you will not be having all the turkey.
Well, I will still have turkey at someone's house. I just know it. You know, there's going to be leftover turkey at someone's house. I will have turkey at some point this weekend, but on that actual day, we will be having goose and all the other fun sides. What about you, Julie?
I am going to my friend's mother's house. So I'm adopted into her home for Thanksgiving. So I will not be traveling back, but she was kind enough to invite myself and my boyfriend and then one of her other friends and then her parents. She said expect to get really fucked up and to eat a lot of food.
Wait, the mom or the friend?
My friend said that.
Oh man, I was hoping the mom said that.
But she might have said that too. I got it secondhand. But so it should be a good Thanksgiving. But also it is Hanukkah starting on Sunday this weekend.
Is that early for Hanukkah?
So Hanukkah comes on different times the time. So usually it falls around Christmas-ish. But no, it's very early this year. So I will also be getting my cooking energy out by doing Hanukkah celebration. So
wow. That's kind of cool. Cool. So your holidays just never end.
No, it's just going to be a holiday weekend. And I think we're going to go to the life-size gingerbread house on opening weekend. There's going to be a lot of good stuff going on this weekend.
I love the holiday decorations. I was in New York for 2 weeks and they just put up the tree at Rockefeller Center. They haven't lit it yet, but already you feel the holiday spirit. And I walked around the city and it was like so cold, one of those typical New York about to turn winter weeks. And I just all of a sudden had this giddy energy about me. That holiday giddy energy of I don't even know what's to come, but I'm so fucking glad it's the holidays. I'm so glad it's here.
I feel like it's snuck up this year, but we had the opportunity on this episode to talk to a hilarious comedian.
Oh, Bernice, so funny.
Yeah. And this episode could not be more perfect for Thanksgiving. because it's all about being a quote unquote leftover, which is when you've hit the ripe age of 30 in China and you are considered a leftover woman if you are not married.
Yes, you heard that right. We've talked about this term maybe a few years ago, and she's made an entire stand-up bit around it. And it's so lovely because she is, you know, born and raised in China and coming to the States and putting on a fresh spin on this term that's just been so normalized in Chinese society, but also looked at with such crazy eyes in the US, like, what did you say? And she's so funny too.
The part that's funny is that I think it's just more out in the open. Like, no one would ever say that in the US, but I do think it's deeply ingrained in our, I would say, limiting beliefs and deep rooted fears that once we hit a certain age, we're left over and undesirable. I don't think it's true at all, but I do think there is some of that that seeps in the US too. It might just not have that. It might just not be like as out in the open as something you're called.
Leftover.
Exactly.
Yes. Just spinster, you know,
exactly.
Sounds good enough.
Same thing. But I think it's perfect timing for many reasons. One, leftovers obviously plays into Thanksgiving so well. But I also think a lot of people, while the holidays are super fun, there is stress that comes with the holidays too, especially if maybe you're not in the place you want to be for the holidays. Like, let's say you are single and you kind of fear that you're going to be the person that everyone's asking at the table. Why are you still single, or what's going on in your love life? I think there's a lot of that fear, and we talk about it in this episode, that a lot of it comes from our parents and family members just wanting the best from us. But I think if we're already feeling insecure or not happy about something, it can be stressful to be like, I have to face this head on.
Yeah, and this is the time of the year where you do see those annoying family members who have their own opinion of how your life should be lived. And let's not forget, even if you're not single, your family has other plans for you. Why aren't you married? Why don't you have kids?
It doesn't end.
Right. Why aren't you living together? Why are you living together? Yeah. There's always something.
You can't do anything right.
Because everybody thinks that they know how to live your life the best, which is hilarious because they don't.
So one of our moderators in our Facebook community, Love at the Time of Corona, Tony, he has posted this last year as well. But apparently, I'm not a huge Twitter user, I'll be honest, but apparently in the Twitter community, there's a thing every year of Thanksgiving clapbacks.
What does that mean?
It's basically, you know, like, what is like a witty, smartass response you could
give?
I can give you an example. So one of them, there's some memes and they'll probably find their way onto Instagram and other places. But, you know, a clapback, right, is like, how do you give it back to someone? So like one example, I pulled up a few of the dating relevant ones that were coming up today. So the first one is, auntie, that's your third plate? ? Me, that's your third husband? ? Here's another one. Uncle, when are you going to get a girlfriend? Me, when are you going to tell your wife about yours?
Wow. These are good.
They keep going. When are you going to settle down? When are you going to admit you settled? There's so many.
Wow, these are so good.
So if you're looking for a way to give it back, I don't know if this is necessarily recommended advice. It's obviously more of a joke, but depends how, sassy you want to get. Depends how sassy you want to get on Thanksgiving.
I always want to get a little bit sassy because the holidays bring out all the emotions in me. Yes, I'm happy and giddy, but I'm also like fucking annoyed and frustrated with everybody around me. I get major anxiety and everybody stresses me out, but I inadvertently clapped back at my mother today.
Oh. Okay. Clapbacks are starting.
I went to get Botox this morning. She was here and she said, did you know that if you had kids, you wouldn't have wrinkles?
Oh my God. What? Kids, how is this even accurate?
Yeah. She said, kids give you so much joy that your wrinkles disappear. And then I pointed at her very prominent wrinkle on her forehead. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I gave you that one. So, you know, I think I clap back a little bit, but I like these. These are more of a zinger. Yeah, I'm gonna read up on these.
First of all, that is the most wildly untrue statement I've ever heard. That is like convenient theories for you.
Absurd. I was like, I pretty sure that I would have double the wrinkles if I had kids.
Exactly. She just wants any opportunity to throw it in there.
But Julie, you know, parents are like this too. Anybody who's had kids seems to have amnesia later down the line that they forget how stressful raising kids were. So then later they're like, it was so joyful. I had no wrinkles. It actually made me younger. I was a fucking Benjamin Button. And you're like, no. Remember when you told me you were miserable and depressed and you want to kill everybody? That's how you felt.
Well, you're going to have to sass up your clap back because you might get a few more of those comments this Thanksgiving. I can feel it in the air.
Well, we're going to work on our clapbacks because that is related to our question for this episode. Someone wrote in and said, the holidays are coming and they're very stressful for me because I am single for the first time in many years. And I know my family will ask me why I'm single this year. What is a good response for them? Hey, where's that clap back? Let's bring out that handbook. It's so funny that you could be living your best life, but just by one question from your family member, it ruins your entire holiday. So first and foremost, don't let that happen to you. But also know that your life is your choice. So when family members ask you, why are you single this year? It's almost like you're the leftover. Nobody wants you. That's all implied. But you take that back and you control the conversation and say, I chose to be single for this holiday because I was in bad relationships in previous holidays. And guess what? This is the best holiday I've had in many years because I'm finally making choices for myself this year.
Yeah, I really do believe for the most part, not every family I don't know, but for the most part, it's coming from a good place.
Yes.
And I think
I forget that sometimes.
I know. And I think a lot of it is that, you know, like people want you to be happy. And sometimes we equate relationships to happiness or what you should be doing or where you should be in life. So I think it's all about really sharing like, hey, I totally know that you're concerned, but I'm super happy right now. So there's nothing to be concerned about. I'm actually living my best life or I'm doing whatever is making me happy right this minute. Insert all that. And I think also like, I love what you said, don't let it ruin your holiday. Even if people don't say things to you, we've heard this before from members of our community and our listeners, is sometimes even like seeing their family that they're the only person and their siblings have children and families and they feel left out, that can trigger stuff for them. So I am a strong believer that every stage of life has its pros and cons and nothing is forever. Next year, you could be in a totally different place for better or for worse. And I think it's reminding yourself of what is the good in your current situation. Maybe it's after you've eaten a big ass meal, you can just go home and unbutton your pants and watch TV and you have no one to answer to, right? Like there's always good in every situation, or you can curl up and read a book or whatever it may be. And I think comparison is the thief of joy. I do love that quote because it's really easy to get sucked into what you should be doing or what others are doing instead of just appreciating what you have. And ultimately, Thanksgiving is about appreciation and gratitude.
So along the same lines, maybe you prepare three things that you got to do this year because you're single. And then that's your answer back. I am single this year. I am so thankful I got to do A, B, and C all because I'm single. Do you want to see pictures? Right?
Yeah.
Turn it into a positive and then they'll have nothing to in response. In fact, they might be really envious of your life.
There is this weird thing in society that people want everyone to be figured out. And by being single, you're essentially not figured out. Yeah, like why don't we applaud people for, you know, understanding their self better or applaud them for taking the time to find the right partner for them opposed to just any partner? And I think of like the analogy of the pie, right? It's like we want the whole freaking pie. And what better way to look at that apple pie on Thanksgiving and remind yourself that you're where you need to be right now and you want that whole pie and there's nothing wrong with wanting a fulfilling life. And if you have a fulfilling life already, that's great because you could be like, look, I'm there. I just, you know, if I desire a relationship, I'll find that person eventually. And if, you know, you're not there, then it's an opportunity to like be like, how can I have that whole pie and have that fulfilling life?
Mm-hmm. I'm getting hungry just thinking about that whole pie.
All the pies.
I want that whole pie too. But that's a great way to give a response back to your family without clapping back. And it's just saying, I just haven't found someone that I want to make that whole pie with yet. So
exactly.
I've decided to make it myself this year.
Exactly. I'm looking for the whole pie, not just a slice of that pie.
Speaking of pie, Julie, we're going to move on to this next segment, which is called Random Thoughts in UA's Head. But in New York, I was able to watch Waitress on Broadway. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. And it was a book as well. It starred Carrie Russell.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Felicity.
Yep.
Yes. Everyone's like, who's Felicity again? I'm like, Carrie Russell is Felicity. That's not her actual name. Like, Felicity is not her actual name. So anyway, I forgot what the movie was about, but watching it on Broadway, it was just so beautifully acted and sung and dance, everything just beautifully performed. But the entire storyline is about this woman stuck in a bad marriage who finds out she's pregnant with her husband's kid, and she feels even more stuck. So she feels like, maybe I just have to accept this as my life. But once the baby is born, she comes to a different revelation about her life. And there's this one song in the Broadway musical called Dear Baby, and I don't have the lyrics in front of me, but it's, she's writing a letter to her future child. And she said, "Dear baby, I hope you find someone who will hold you for 20 minutes without expecting a kiss back or you to talk back or anything back, because they just want to be there for you and with you." It was more beautifully written than that. And that part made me cry, because I kept thinking, like, in society, from the outside, she's got her whole life figured out. You know, she's got the husband, she's pregnant. Her life is wonderful. Yet she felt so stuck in where she was. And all she wanted was someone to just hold her without expecting anything back. Why the pie thing reminded me of that is because by the end of the musical, the whole theater smelled like apple pie. You're like, this is the best thing ever. And she's making pies the whole time. That's her forte. So I really thought that was just so beautiful, is that from the outside, anybody's life can be perfect and can look perfect, but only you know what makes you happy and nobody else can tell you that. So take that control back this holiday season and build and create what brings you joy.
Yeah. And I think that's why people get so hung up with these like milestones, is because it makes it so simple to gauge where someone's at. Even though it's not accurate, it's much more difficult to really dig in with someone and see how they're doing, opposed to just being like, oh, are you engaged yet? That's like an easier thing to bring up, even though it really doesn't mean anything. Like, if you're not happy in your relationship, then does it matter that you're in a relationship?
Doesn't matter.
But for whatever reason in society, it's still like some benchmark and some like finish line you've crossed.
Yeah, like you're accepted into this upper echelon of society because you check this off your checklist. And we know that's not the case. This is like what we've been preaching all along on our podcast. So we hope that this holiday season brings you joy, because you bring yourself joy and you are in control of that. But we do have a gift for all of you for Thanksgiving.
We do have a gift. And it's not pie, sorry. We can't mail pies out to all of you.
Well, it's against health regulations. But we would.
That's
if we
the
could.
Reason why we're not doing it, clearly.
So we hope you're listening to this before Thanksgiving, because starting Black Friday, we will be re-releasing our Finding Your Person program. This was a very popular program we released a few months ago. Mm-hmm. The people who were part of this last cohort are just finishing up the programs, giving us space to welcome new members into the program. It is a 6 to 12 week program. You go at your own pace, but we've noticed from this last cohort, people either take 6 weeks or a little bit longer. That's up to you. The entire program shepherds you along into finding your person. Julie and I have both used the same methodology to find our people, at least our people today, and we're happy with. And we feel the need to share this with everybody else. So that is our gift to you. We're launching this on Black Friday, and it's going to be live from Black Friday, which is the 26th, all the way to the 30th of November. So it's not that many days that we're opening up the program for you all to sign up for it. And then we will be closing cart midnight on the 30th, midnight PST on the 30th.
And again, it's just UA and I, so we do have to limit the amount of people. I think the amount we had last time, 50 people, was perfect. We were able to have really good group calls that weren't too crowded. We were able to kind of help shepherd people through and check in on people as they're doing the program. Honestly, I think the biggest gift I got this season was seeing the progress that people made. Like the last check-in for some of the people that have made it all the way through, we asked like on a scale of 1 to 10, how good are you feeling about finding your person? And a lot of the responses have been like 8, 9, 10. I'm like, this is awesome. Freaking amazing. And just, you know, like feeling that way and like understanding, I think a lot of people either identified the real root cause of what was going on for them or got more clear on what was going on for them. And that's really the deeper work. And of course, we do all the stuff of how to navigate dating apps and meet new people in real life. It's really a breadth of material. I really believe it is our best material we've ever created. So I'm super excited that we're getting the opportunity to share it with more people for Black Friday.
It's very much related to this episode, too, because it's all about taking control of your story and your narrative. Mm-hmm. And our guest today, Bernice, basically respun this word leftover, and she made it her own and created her own narrative around it. So we hope that you all can change your narrative, too, like Julie and I were able to do. And you can find out more about this program by going to findingyourperson.com. That's it. Very simple.
We will be sending this out to people on our wait list only. So make sure to join that wait list. You can even do that today.
Yay.
Awesome. I think that's good for announcements today. At Dateable Podcast is our Instagram too. Can always connect with us there. And let's hear it for a few of our sponsors for this episode.
Support for Dateable is brought to you by Incipio. Incipio offers legendary protection for all of your devices, from phones to AirPods to tablets. They obsess over their tech to protect yours. It's like Incipio's line of products was made for me, because with their phone cases, my phone is protected from drops as high as 14 feet. The cases are also wireless charging compatible, and there's a lifetime warranty. So they've got you covered. I have the Organic Core Clear Case, which is made up of 100% compostable materials that reduces landfill waste by naturally re-entering the environment from where it started. All of the packaging is made out of 100% recyclable materials with eco-friendly water-based ink. Now, for Dateable listeners only, we have a special offer. These incredible cases are now available for purchase at Incipio.com, and you can use the code Dateable for 20% off. That's Incipio.com, and use the code DATEABLE for 20% off. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It is no surprise, Julie and I are huge fans of therapy, especially online therapy, and BetterHelp can do exactly just that. They match you with your own licensed therapist and connect you in a safe and private online environment. I was able to start communicating with my therapist in less than 48 hours, super fast. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, and it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling. Their licensed professionals specialize in everything from stress management, anxiety, trauma, dating, and grief. We at Dateable wish for all of you to live a happier, more wholesome life, and we think therapy and prioritizing your mental health will accomplish that. So as our listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/dateable. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/DATEABLE.
Okay, let's hear it from Bernice, all about the leftovers.
I still remember when I turned 25 and I went back to China, to Beijing, to visit my family. And I remember my little cousin joking that I was now a leftover woman. She's like, "You're leftovers now." When you turn 25? At 25, I was single at 25, living my best life. And she was like, "You're a leftover now." My little cousin, she was like 16 or 15 at the time. I couldn't believe it. And I didn't know what that term meant during that time. But now, for sure, you know, my whole family talks about it. So Bernice, who's our guest for this episode, did a bit all about the leftover woman, that phenomenon in China. But who is Bernice? She is in her late 30s, currently lives outside of Seattle, sort of in, I don't even know where, Kamano Island?
Nobody knows.
Sounds exotic. Originally from China. Where in China, Bernice?
You know, it's from Wuhan. I no longer need to explain where that is.
It's pretty famous now. Yep. She is engaged and she's a comedian. And, you know, your bit, maybe we should just play a little bit when we post this on our social media, was so wonderful the way you kind of explained it. But it is a real thing in China, even though people joke about it, that when I was 25, that was kind of the cutoff that if you're single and over 25, you're a shengnyu. But now if you're 30, right, they kind of push back the age a little bit. So if you're 30,
times.
Yeah. 25, that's just not realistic. You're just still in school, whatever.
Right. You don't even know what the hell is going on. But they've pushed back the age, which I do appreciate, but 30 is still pretty young. Mm-hmm. But let's just go in and talk about this, what this idea of the leftover woman means. You got engaged in 2020. Tell us a little bit about you and your fiance and how did you meet each other before we get into how you're no longer a leftover woman.
We actually, you know, like we met online, you know, when we met, I think I was already 34 already, you know.
Oh, so old.
And he is 43 and we met online. And then that's the time I just got out of a long-term relationship. And then we met on Match. Oh, I know it's so embarrassing, but
not at all.
I was like, you know what? I just want to go on somebody who can afford a monthly subscription. I want to move out.
Has her own Netflix.
That's a good way to scan, right?
Yeah. So we dated for like a year and a half or so. When he proposed, and I don't know how much we're getting, but that's the overall quick answer.
And then what was your dating life like before him?
Before him, it's interesting because I feel like the long-term relationship I had was 5 years. So that was kind of like, I feel that's a really golden time of my life. I was, you know, really like established who I am. Before that, I think I did online dating or meeting in person. I was just trying to find myself there. So, you know, growing up in China, we don't date, right? Like our parents, just, you can't date, you cannot date, you cannot be seen together with a boy. Mm-hmm. So there's like, I don't even know how to process this. So when I came to America, there is that insecurity. And growing up, like everybody said, you're ugly, you're fat. And so in America, when people were treating you nice, you were like, oh, I'm okay.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You're just trying to learn your standard. You know, like it's not like the first person saying you're pretty. Then you're like, ah, I like you. So there's that phase when I was younger, definitely just trying to learn who I am. And I think when I was in that 5-year relationship, I had a healthy beginning, but then my boyfriend at the time, when he quit his job and he wanted to do his own game, he's very talented, so was very supportive. But then it became one thing dragged to another. I supported him for 3 years, right? He does not have any income, and I was like financially supporting him, but also I was doing all the house, a lot of the house responsibility that he wasn't helping. So it became very unhealthy. It's not a healthy balance that we are. So when I got out, that relationship, mine is like, okay, I just want to first have fun. And I also want to like establish a criteria of like, I don't want to date losers anymore. I want to make sure that the next person I met, it's like meet the standard. And also I can be authentic of who I am.
Yeah, Bernice, I feel like I'm already having all these light bulbs go off in my head because you're helping me process also my early adulthood. And it makes so much sense because in Chinese culture, you don't grow up with validation. So when you do get validation, it becomes really uncomfortable. And what Chinese people love to do is they love to, when they see you, they love to tell you how you're different from the last time they saw you. You got taller, you got shorter, you got fatter, you got skinnier.
Oh, yes,
you're never just right. You're always like, something about you is off. And it
changes. That sounds like Jewish parents too.
There we go. That's why we get along so well. So it kind of makes sense that when you do, when you're trying to work through your values and your standards, you're like, is this just basic good human behavior? Mm-hmm. Or does this person actually like me and I should like them back?
Right. Exactly.
I feel like one of our like community members who's Asian said, you are basically told don't ever date. And then it's like, where are my grandkids?
Yeah.
And they're like, why don't our families and, you know, everyone understand that there's a lot that happens in between the two? How did you kind of deal with, you know, being back single after the 5-year relationship and now entering probably like territory of being in this quote unquote older bucket leftover stage?
I just feel so lucky that period of time I am in America. Like, it just, I can't imagine if I lived in China at that time. Because in China also, like, strangers can get into a business. Like, here, there's a boundary you set, right? Like, none of business, shut up. But then in China, it's like a stranger on the street, they can say, oh, why? Like, I was wearing a tank top in May once in Beijing, and there's a random person on the street saying, so, aren't you cold?
Always. Always.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like aunties and uncles, they were saying, well, I know a guy, you should go on a date. They would just harass you forever. So first of all, like, I'm just very glad I'm here. and then I think there's something good as a distraction for my parents is that they went through, actually, from the beginning when I grew up, they were always fighting. So they fight, but my mom is also like, she's very busy. She's always hanging out with her aunties. She tried to start a dance troupe, whatever. So she's very busy. So I will call her on the time that I know she's not going to pick up. You know, like, you're supposed to call your parents, but there's a time difference. So I will pick up a time to call, and it's her fault that she missed my call. So I paid my duty of calling her.
Did you think that she would like give you shit? Is that like why you were kind of avoiding the call a bit?
It's more like reduce the frequency. So like, you know, I will talk to her enough, give her the update. But then, you know, like for my mom, it's really hit and miss. Sometimes she's so positive. She was like, okay, thank you for, oh, good, you were dating this guy. The next time you call, she's like, well, this guy, not good, his job is not good, and when are you getting married? Then like, if I reduce the frequency, chances are there's less harassment.
Less harassment. I always like to say that Chinese moms have amnesia, because you tell them one thing and they're like, good, that sounds good. Next time you talk to them, they talk about the exact same thing over again. They always like to revisit old issues for some reason. So when did you ever feel any sort of pressure from your parents now that you're at an age to get married and have kids?
Definitely. I feel like now is actually better, because even in my late 30s, they almost like have this give up feeling, you know? It's almost like their friends give up on them to harassing about me. Like, their friends almost like, oh my, there's no point. And then they're like, okay, we gave up. But I feel like in my early 30s, you know, like the period you're just entering that leftover women phase, I feel that's the one they have the most pressure, because of all my cousins, right? Like my grandparents, all the grandkids, they are married, they have kids. Oh my God, my cousins have 2 kids already. So at this point, I feel like grandparents, their wishes has been fulfilled. But then before that phase, I'm the only one. So like, everybody's like, what's the deal? When am I getting married? The only thing that kind of held my parents back is because when I was with my ex, my parents visited me. They stay with me from China for 3 months.
Wow.
So they lived with me, and they were like, even though they want me to get married, but they were like, this guy, we're just not sure. Really not sure. And then because when they visited, he didn't really try to communicate with my parents. And then my parents see I have just take such a heavy load on the household and everything. So when they went back to China, their number one priority is not to get me married. The number one priority is like, you should break up with this guy.
Well, so that means your parents weren't desperate enough yet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, they weren't like, oh, any guy, let's round them up. But they actually have standards for you. That's nice to hear.
Well, because I think they were in an unhappy marriage for the longest time. And my mom was like, not forced, but kind of like guilted into arranged the marriage somewhat, because it's a blind date set up by my grandma. And then my grandma just like, oh, you should really marry this guy. Don't hold back. And so my mom, you know, they didn't know how to date either. So they got married and my mom was very unhappy for a very, very long time. So she understood it's worse to get into a miserable marriage. Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. So would she, okay, so knowing that, did she, how like often, like I guess if you were to talk about like, you know, you have, say you have like 5 phone calls with her, how often would she bring up your single status? Was it something that came up frequently?
I think she my mom is actually very smart. She tread water with me. So she would say, how are things? You know, like she will, I think she usually have an agenda, but then she will kind of see, okay, if things are good or bad, if you're not bad, like if there's something that not going so well, and it's like, yeah, like I told you, yeah, this is not a guy, just get rid of him. Like she will patrol that direction. And sometimes, and if things are going well, then she will say, oh, so have you thought about next step? What are you waiting for? So kind of she hear, and then she push the water in the direction it's already going.
Julie, does your mom do the same?
No.
Ever?
My mom is so not this way at all.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah. Like, I know, I mean, I know a lot of our listeners, this is why we wanted to do this topic too, is a lot of our listeners say that they get a ton of pressure from their parents, even in America where we don't have, I want to hear one of you say the Chinese term again, but we don't have like the leftover culture, but I feel like there's still a pressure when you hit 30 that people feel, right? That they should be settled down. They should be, you know, thinking about having kids. Like there's all this pressure that's societal, or a lot of times it is family too. I personally have not had it, which has been great. Like I've definitely kind of been drilled in more to like take care of yourself first. And I think that comes from like my parents' background also.
That's good. Yeah, it's definitely good to have understanding parents. And you could still have understanding parents who give you pressure. I feel like my mom is that. She always has an agenda whenever she calls me. But it always starts out with, how are things going? Things are good. Are you, what did you eat? Are you fed? And then it's like, when am I going to see my grandkid? Right? And it's like, it goes from 0 to 60 really fast. So it's the way they deliver this information.
I was going to say, okay, so I know Yue is an only child. Are you an only child also, Bernice? Or do you have siblings?
I am.
I think that's a big difference because my brother met his wife at 22.
Right.
So she kind of had that on one side.
Right.
I could see if you don't have that at all, this is like your only hope. So there's a lot of pressure on that one person.
But recently I had a kind of a Tiffany moment with this. So to lead into that, like, so I told my parents a while ago, actually it took many years to get them to on board finally. It's like, I don't want kids. And then you know, for Chinese parents to be on board and then go with you on that is actually very difficult. But I think what's ultimately changed is their definition of happiness. Because I think for Chinese parents, like the traditional way of the definition of happiness, I don't know if do you speak Chinese?
Yeah.
Oh,
like, I do.
圆满, it's like the completion. It's like you have family, you have grandkids, 四世同堂, right? Like you have four generations in the house. So there's that traditional view. That's the definition of happiness. So I think for my parents, for the longest time, they just feel it's incomplete for me,
right?
My life. And so they are projecting that idea of like how the life should be, and they worry.
Right. Well, I think that's where it's coming from with a lot of family pressure, right? It's like, this is how I did it. This is how society says you're supposed to do it. What's wrong with you because you're not doing it?
Yeah. And you must not be happy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And my parents, what happened is they were in a very unhappy marriage for a long time, but all of a sudden, you know what? They were in love again. It's so crazy.
Oh.
They were in love in their late 60s, like 65, and they started to travel. I think they gave up on the hope of me getting married and having kids. And then they were like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, you know, other of their friends are like taking care of the grandkids. They're like, we're going to travel.
It's like kind of the same benefits, right? If you're like an adult that doesn't have kids, you have more of the freedom and luxury to do all that stuff.
And so that's funny. Very telling. It's very telling of Chinese culture where we spend our lives pleasing other people. And it's always about other people's happiness. So your parents are trying to make sure you're happy. You're trying to please them. And ultimately, you forget what it makes you happy. So it's so nice to see that your parents have finally become quote unquote selfish to focus on their own happiness.
Yeah.
I love that neither of you are happy in that process.
Yeah, it's like neither, because you're like,
cycle of trying to make each other happy.
It's a lose-lose situation.
It's like giving up that expectation, because I think for them is they finally realize we're like 65, okay? And then we're not going to get divorced and then find another person again. So they gave up the expectation of the other person. All of a sudden, they accepted each other and said to go travel. They had a lot of fun. Like nowadays, they're taking pictures, like having like love on the rock.
You know? Wow.
What is happening?
I will send you a picture later. It's like, they dance, they do TikTok dance. It's crazy.
What?
Yeah. They will send me, like, my dance doesn't go nearly as popular as theirs. And so, like,
obviously.
I love it. They're having, like, a rebirth.
Yeah, rebirth. And I feel like they have a new understanding of this happiness. It doesn't have to be the same path as everybody else. And then they start to accept my own way of living. So that's very beautiful.
I think that's like the nail on the head. That's where it comes from, is that I think a lot of times parents think that you'll be happy this way, and they really just want to make sure. But I feel like, especially, you know, as we're at Thanksgiving too, it's a lot of people dread going home for the holidays, you know, because they're like that inevitable question of, are you seeing anyone? Or, you know, like, why are you still single? And it's coming from this place of wanting to help, but it's basically doing the exact opposite.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. So while we kind of glazed over, or glossed over, is that the term? Anyway,
you're just thinking about Thanksgiving.
I'm just thinking about Thanksgiving and donuts and turkey. So we kind of glossed over the term of a shengnyu, which literally translates to leftover woman. Bernice, can you tell us, when was the first time you heard about this term, and what was your reaction? What was the context in which you found out?
Okay. I feel like I heard of it when I was in China. Like I heard it before I was 30. And then at the time, I almost feels like, I don't know, I'm trying to remember, right? Like, first of all, just feel like when you were in that culture, you're almost not surprised. You're almost not surprised. Like your cousin, like 16, and then you will call someone older. It's like, yeah. Like at the time, just feel like 30 is a hella old. when you're young, and you feel like, yeah, I hope I'm like married when I'm 30, whatever, right? So I wasn't surprised. And then it's almost like when I'm in America, I almost forgot about this until the term surfaced in my head again. And then pretty happy. And now I'm a leftover woman. And then like, I think it's only the perspective of living in America to see how women can be so much happier, independent, having our own place, and to go back and look at what I was just took it for granted. Like I just thought, yeah, of course it's a leftover woman. I didn't think that's wrong, whatever. And then now it's like, wow, that's terrible. And then and then the thing is, like, I looked it up, right? For men over 30, there you could say leftover woman, but nobody used that term. But instead they call it what is it? 钻石黄老五, like,
oh my god.
And then 黄金单身汉 is like a diamond single man or golden bachelor.
Well, that's like in the US. I mean, I think it's not as pronounced here, but there is like the spinster when you're over 30, and then like the bachelor when you're over 30, you know? And that's, again, one is very derogatory and one is almost like praising.
Yeah, it's almost praising.
And for anybody hearing this term for the first time, if you're not offended enough, I will just go into why this term is so offensive even more, because there's an implication that it's out of your control. You were left over by other people. It wasn't like your choice to be single, right?
Leftovers are that other people
have left you. You weren't picked. But as a golden bachelor, it's like, that's your choice. I choose to be single. So it takes the power away from women. And it made me, when I heard the term, feel like, oh, I'm a loser, that, you know, this is out of my control and nobody wants to pick me.
It's just like, are we back in the 1920s? It feels so archaic.
Yeah, and I remember when I was in school, like, you know, because I went to Peking University, and they will always say like, well, but for girls, you don't want to appear too smart because you are going to be leftover women. Like, basically, wow. You're going to be left over, you know?
Wow. So did you internalize any of this, or were you kind of just like, fuck it? Like, did you, like, when you were single, did you feel like something was wrong, or were you just embracing it?
I wasn't thinking so the part when I was in China, I wasn't thinking so much about that much. And also, like, when I grew up in China, I was totally tomboy, so like I was behaving pretty much like a boy or man. Like, I just don't even think I was a girl. Like, it's I don't know, like, nowadays I feel like I went backwards as everybody else in the US, right? Like, straight people, they're like, I'm fluid. But I feel like when I was in China, I was totally like a butch lesbian thinking, like, at least. So I was like, sure, I don't care. I don't need to be liking boys. But like, I was dating. Now I still need to hide because people will. I came to America when I was 21, so that's the age people will still shame you if you're dating. You're supposed to hide. So I didn't get any sort of pressure at that point. But when I'm in America, I feel like it took me a long time to get away from that mentality. It's almost like I don't want people to see I'm dating, even though there's nobody watching me anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait, so I'm so confused as someone that's, you know, culturally maybe removed. So basically, when you're 21, you're told not to date, right? You're hiding it, but then by 30 you're expected to be married.
Oh no, no, like, no, by 22. As soon as you graduate from college.
How would that even happen? Is it just setups? Is that really what it is?
I think it's also the PDA part of it. So like, it's almost when I was in college, so that was between 17 to 21, right? It's okay. You have a boyfriend, you have a girlfriend. That's kind of normal. It's expected. But then like, if you kiss, that's like, whoa, like almost like you need to remove that image. Like, as if you just still holding hands, that's okay. But then they don't want you to think that, oh my God, this person is having sex. Oh my God. Like, that is unspeakable, you know?
It's so funny though, because there is something so much more wholesome about being married and having sex, right? It's like for procreation. But if you're single and dating, there's like this promiscuous vibe. You know, it's either that people either think you're having no sex, or if you are having sex, there's this feeling of like you're doing something wrong and it's shameful. Yeah.
At least, you know, because I was also like maybe older too in China, that time is more conservative. I think now people are more open though.
I think it's getting there, but it's still there's still a lot of brainwashing that's going on and a lot of shaming around not married and having kids. So I don't know the stats because China would not release these stats, but you could be in a long-term relationship with someone and have the intentions of marrying them, but if you have a child out of wedlock, your family would make you get an abortion.
Wow.
More times than not. This happened to someone in my family where she had been dating her boyfriend for 6 years. They were going to get married later that year. She got pregnant because also sex education does not exist in China. So nobody knows. Like, right there, people are having sex and they're like, I got pregnant. How did that happen? So sex education is not happening. And then she got pregnant and they made her get an abortion. They got married later that year. And then had a kid a year after that. And that was okay.
Wow.
So there's just so much shame around the technicality of it all. Yes. You have to be married in order to have kids.
Yeah.
It's it's really fucked up, even if you've been with someone for like a decade.
It's so much shame associated with it. Yeah.
I do think that also exists in the States
for
too.
For sure. Yes.
I think there is like a lot of areas that, you know, there is that very, I mean, we know that from, you know, just in certain states, abortion is not okay and looked at as, you know, the cardinal sin. But then even in the most liberal of areas and cities and stuff, there's still this pressure, right? Like, where is that? I guess I'll direct it to both of you, but maybe Bernice first. Like, where do you think that pressure is coming from, even in the States where, I mean, I know we don't go around talking about like leftover women here, but there still is this like feeling of there's something wrong once you hit a certain age.
Yeah. Let's see. I feel like in this area, I'm I'm observing almost like going the opposite way a little bit. I will talk about that later. But I also feel like there is a sense of like women as we age will our value
yes,
he appreciates, and then men their value goes up. I think your family, your friends, were just people will not say it out loud anymore, right? But then they still feel like, oh, you're beautiful, you're young. But then as you get older, like so much of our value is associated with our appearance, our sex appeal, and all that stuff. That's how I feel. But also that your married friends, like, so we all friends, right? Like, and then your married friends, they get married, they have kids, and they are also projecting about like, oh, you gotta, like, I guess not projecting, but it's difficult to hang out with your married friend. They just went to a different world.
Right.
You know, if they're married with kids and you're single. So there's a sense of being left alone. It's harder to make friends. And the lifestyle, you kind of depart from some of the long-time friendship you have as well. There's some peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But in Seattle and Portland, there's something interesting because like there's a part of my stand-up I talk about I'm engaged, and it used to be people would applaud, and now people are just like I think it's either they're like they're trying to say, oh, getting married, or like just like, let's just wait if she's married to a man or a woman, because if it's a woman we're going to applaud, but a man, that's like, fuck that. You know, there's
too traditional.
Just like in Seattle, it's so progressive and liberal. Mm-hmm. And there's people about like, if you're just doing the traditional thing about getting married, it's like, I'm not so into that. There's that as well.
Mm.
Oh, so we're kind of almost like overcorrecting the other way. Like,
definitely see that in like San Francisco also, for sure.
I was like, what happened to love is love, you know?
Right. Not if you're traditional. You don't get love anymore.
You're like ashamed for being straight these days.
Right. Yes,
like,
yes.
I like men. I know. Gross.
Both of the points you brought up, though, like, I think there is this misogyny that comes from it, and just like the traditional aspect of, you know, that there's this belief system that you lose prospects the older you get, and, mm-hmm. you know, everyone settled down. So I do agree with you, too, about the friends and whoever is in your orbit. And that might be less societal pressure, but it is a pressure because it's on your day-to-day almost even more. And I think like you do start to notice like the gaps of lifestyle, mm-hmm. because I think when we're in our 20s, everyone's kind of all doing the same thing. And then once we hit our 30s, people start to really deviate in all sorts of directions. So if you happen to be with friends that are all in one direction and you're in another, and maybe it's the same, maybe if all your friends are single and you're the one lone married person, you would also feel like you were kind of in a different leftover state, or maybe not leftover, but just in a different world.
Yeah. Or just like nobody's really leftover, right? That's all of our choices. There are choices that we make, mm-hmm. and it's not in the hands of someone else who ate us for dinner and didn't want us the next day. That's not how it works. But I do often think about how these terms are started, who starts them, mm-hmm. and then how do they even catch on? How do they become viral? How do they become part of pop culture? And Bernice, have you thought about this a little bit for China in specifically? Who do you think made up this term?
Well, I mean, definitely a man.
You think?
It sounds like something people will like. I just feel it's, I don't know. Okay, in my head, this is the image I have. A guy got dumped, you know, and by a woman, and then like just very upset and just went online to write an internet, an internet novel,
like a blog.
Like a blog thing. It's like, you know, she will be leftover woman. Like, just use it. But then, like, I feel like that is very easy to catch on. Like, something that shows up on the internet, I'm completely making this up. So, but like in my head, I just have that image, you know, like, and then that went online and people are like, yes, she's a leftover woman, fuck her, whatever.
Went
like,
viral.
Same thing as like, you know, Mark Zuckerberg couldn't find a date and he started a Facebook. You know, like there's a lot of...
Yeah, It's all about the dirty men that can't get women. That's clearly where it all stems from.
Yeah, whenever the ego get attacked, yeah. And the defense, the mechanism is to kind of putting other side down, right? Like, mm-hmm.
I think it's the ego, the hurt ego that mm-hmm. started it, but it's yeah. also the jaded women that perpetuated it, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. the man probably got hurt. He's like, I'm going to make up this term, but it's he caught some women at the right time who are probably just turned 30 or whatever and felt down on their luck, felt bad that they were single and were like, exactly. Now there's a term for it. Misery loves company. So I'm going to keep perpetuating this term and I'm going to call other women this term. And what is beautiful though, is in recent years in China, some feminists have taken this term back and said, yeah, sheng yu could mean leftover, but sheng also could mean heavenly kind of queen-like. I think that's a one way of describing it. So they've retaken the term back and said, nope, no more leftover. We are powerful queens who have chosen to be single.
Okay, let's pause here for now for a message.
Confession, I have a secret about how I've been able to update my wardrobe with only high quality but affordable pieces these last few years. And now I have to let the secret out because they're sponsoring this episode. It's called Quince. Yeah, if you know, you know. Quince has premium European linen dresses, gorgeous washable silk tops, luxurious cashmere. And the best part, they're priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories. So no more middleman, and that's why it costs less to you. I know Julie got herself some nice cashmere pieces, and at only $50 a sweater, come on. And I recently ventured into home goods. I got myself some premium cotton percale sheets. Ultra cooling and just feels like a 5-star hotel every night. And it's so perfect for the upcoming hot months. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/dateable for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/dateable to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/dateable.
I am all about self-care these days, and guess what? Body care is also self-care. Taking care of your body is a moment to practice mindfulness, self-love, and compassion, all things that I am fully behind right now. That's why I'm so glad to share a promo from one of our new sponsors, Osea. I'm obsessed with their Mega Moisture Duo that provides instant firming hydration and delivers a full body glow. It makes me feel so confident and refreshed to walk out the door with unbelievably glowing skin. And there's nothing more I love than getting premium skincare products at an incredible value. So, show your skin some love with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide and use the code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use the code DATEABLE for 10% off.
Want relationship advice from one of the leading experts in the field of couples therapy? Then Reimagining Love is for you. Hosted by one of our favorite guests on Dateable, Dr. Alexandra Solomon. She is a clinical psychologist, couples therapist, professor, and award-winning author. It is your destination for profound, enlightening discussions about love, family, intimacy, and everything in between. But more than that, she gives us the opportunity to reimagine ourselves, our relationships, and our world. So on the show, Dr. Alexandra gives in-depth research-backed takes on topics like dating, jealousy, communication, commitment, personal growth, and features notable guests from the worlds of therapy, academia, and pop culture, such as me and Julie from Dateable, among other people you may have heard of like Esther Perel, Susan Cain, and Emily Nagoski. Her podcast is incredible, definitely worth a listen. We loved being on it, and we love having Dr. Alexandra on our show. So you can find her podcast, Reimagining Love, wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like in the US, though, just bringing it back to here also, I think it all stems from romantic comedies. I think that's where this like statement came from of, you know, like you need to be married or whatever by a certain age. Like, I feel like there's been so many shows that kind of reinforce that stereotype too. And I feel like a lot of them don't even exist anymore. Like, I can't even remember the last time where I've seen that, like, very traditional romantic comedy that, you know, like, kind of the credits end when the two people get together. Like, that doesn't really exist as much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Romantic comedies are...
They fucked us, for they sure. Really,
but, yeah. You know, like, kind of like what Bernice is saying, we're kind of going the other direction.
Oh, so totally.
You don't see those romantic comedies. In fact, you see the opposite of those storylines and non-traditional relationships. So it's nice to see that. Mm-hmm. I just thought about this and it completely escaped me because I asked you for the root of the term. And I think I do know the root of the term.
Oh, tell me.
Because we grew up in this one-child policy, right?
Yeah.
Because there was a population problem. They had to control it. Now, there's way more single men than women because so many women have chosen to choose career and education over having kids.
Oh my God,
getting
yes.
married and having kids. So the government was like, oh, we're fucked up because now we're going to have a reverse population issue. Nobody's procreating. So we're going to create this term to make women feel guilty for not getting married. There we go. I think that's
interesting.
The root
okay.
of it.
Is that where it came from? That's,
yes.
that's actually I been remember more reading fucked somehow.
Oh, yeah. I
if it's like yes. infused by the government, I feel like that's way more fucked than some random guy that's heartbroken writing a
Julie,
blog.
Julie, welcome to China. Everything is, everybody's fucked up by the government.
Because I remember the pressure. Okay, now it's clicking. Yes, the leftover
it's
women. Yeah, because like they wanted to pressure you to get married. Because also there's a trend of more and more women, like when they work, mm-hmm. like want to have their financial independence and stuff. And then, it's still not working, right? And so the government did this a two-child policy thing.
Yeah.
And did a three-child policy. They increased
and nobody wants to have kids.
No, nobody. Yeah.
So I like in your set, one of the things that I really liked about it was like how you said, you know, your friend asked if you were going to get permission, your mm-hmm. fiance was yeah. going to get permission to marry you.
Yeah.
And you kind of like laughed at it. Like, oh how is that?
God, permission. Like literally, that's, my mom would pay him to take me like like okay so this is how conversation went right like I told my mom like I'm taking the boyfriend home my mom just said like what boyfriend I mean just like when you come home she felt so embarrassed I'm taking home a boyfriend and she's like when you come home just tell that you are married already Yeah, and I have to negotiate with her. I was like, well, I mean, actually, before that, she's like, oh, your grandma, she's dying. Like, you have
oh,
to.
No.
You have to. Like, she's
no.
guilting. And then, of course, like, my grandma, two grandmas, they're fine. They're fine. They're healthy.
They're,
fine,
no, they're right? not dying.
Yeah, they just want to guilt me. Like, you just got to see farewell. Like, when
yeah.
the grandparents
oh, yeah.
are dying, you got to have a wedding to make sure all your grandkids are getting married. So that's how she was trying to, it's like, okay, just make sure you're married.
Except your grandma's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have to negotiate with her because one of the things my mom have nagging me is like, oh, I've been to so many Chinese weddings because at Chinese wedding, you give people money.
Yes.
And she's like, I'm broke from
yes.
giving people money. She's like,
yes.
when are you going to get married so I can get my money back, right?
Yes. Yes. My parents say those words verbatim.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so funny.
So I have to negotiate with my mom. I said, well, don't you want your money back? Like, we need to have a Chinese wedding. So how about just like only grandma, tell grandma that we're engaged but don't tell anyone else. And of course when we showed up everybody congratulations for engagement.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
And there
yeah,
was
yeah.
no engagement yet.
No there's no engagement. I was so
oh my
mad
god.
I was
what
so
is
mad.
Your what is your now fiance think?
So what happened is this whole time I'm sheltering him from all the Chinese conversation, right? Like he wanted to learn some Chinese. I was like, I don't want you to learn Chinese.
Your fiance is American?
Yeah. Yeah. He's white.
Okay.
Yeah. So he wanted to learn Chinese, but I want to teach him very basic, like how, like good. I just like, you just say good to everything.
And eat.
Yeah,
good
eat.
And eat.
Yeah, good and eat. So basically at all the lunches and dinners, people are cheering toast to us for
wow.
our engagement.
Oh my God.
I would just say, okay, just a drink. And then I would tell him how upset I was. It's like, okay, I can't believe my mom did this. And everybody said, I was pissed. I was very, very upset. But of course, this whole time, he was planning on proposing to me. Like, I don't know. I didn't know. So he's almost like trying to, almost in his heart, he's thinking the whole time to my mom, say, just chill, it's coming.
Yeah, it's coming, it's happening.
It's happening.
Did your mom, like, does she have, or what about your dad? Like, where is he in this? Does he give you the pressure?
Like, what's his opinion?
Oh yeah, my dad, I think he's so traumatized by my last boyfriend, and oh. He just want me to be end up with somebody. Like, basically, there's a bar. He said, okay, this guy is not good for this reason. He also have a checklist to watch out for me. And he's like, okay, this guy is good for this. He's, you know, taking care of us. He's respect for us. He's funny. He's trying to communicate with us. So for him, he's trying to say, okay, I give the thumb up to this guy. So he wasn't trying to... Yeah, he's being protective. He's kind of keeping an eye on for me. But my dad and my fiance, his name is Rich, and they had a really good moment, because I think even though they don't speak the language, with the help of some translation, a Google Translate, they really clicked, because they like photography, they like some of the common interests.
Yeah,
so they had some really fun moment. They danced together, you know, they sang together.
Nice.
Yeah, we like, my mom pulled out the Chinese karaoke, and then
wow.
Yeah, and then my mom was dancing, and then like Rich was singing. So like, there's some like really fun moments that happen. Yeah.
You know what's so fascinating is like, it sounds like your mom is just trying to please her mom. Like, it's just like this perpetual cycle of pleasing. Because like you were saying earlier that, you know, like she wasn't even that much like, oh, you should get married, because she wasn't super happy in her marriage then. Now she obviously is. But it sounds like it's almost like, I need to make sure like my mom, your grandmother, is okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna like go that extra mile to make sure that it works and they're happy.
My mom is a very interesting character, because I think for her, she's non-traditional. Like, she's kind of a rebel of her own. But in the meantime, because of she's surrounded with all the traditional value and her friends and the family, so she's never jumped out of it. So even though she will feel happy when she's just being herself, and she has a very strong personality, she's also, she knows what she's supposed to behave, supposed to feel happy. Her duty for the family. So I feel like I see the both sides of her come into play. Yeah.
You know what's so fascinating is I feel like that actually sums up where a lot of us, even in the States, are uncomfortable. It's like there is this side of us that feels okay being single and even potentially happier being single and loving our life, but then also this traditional side that's you should get married and have children and all that. And it's a constant tug of war sometimes. And I think that ultimately is what makes us unhappy over that we're just, you know, not with someone potentially.
And this is why this moment is so important to us, because our parents grew up in a generation where they do see the rebellious side, but they can't act upon it because it's life or death for them. You know, they need the shelter, they need the family, they need all the traditions. And we are the first generation to actually act on the rebellious, the non-traditional side. And if we don't fucking do it, our kids are going to have to take that on. So we might as well be the first generation to carve that path. So it won't be as hard for our kids, right?
I love it.
Were they like, how accepting were they of you having an American fiance? Like, were they okay with that? They were like, finally, she's, you know, moving on and getting married? Or did they prefer you to be with someone from China?
You know, the best part of being 36 is like,
anything goes.
They can be picky. They can be picky.
I totally feel that as well. The pressure has dropped. They're like, finally, someone.
Yeah, finally, someone. Yes.
And when is the wedding?
We pushed it, like, because, like, I was supposed to be September 2020. We push it to this year, September, and then we push it next year, July. And that's it. Yeah, because the first time we push it, because it's the pandemic, and then we're like, oh, we're so behind on wedding planning anyway. So it was a relief for us. And then this year is, even though we got a vaccine, but my parents, they cannot come. And there's one thing that is crazy happening in China is, you know, my parents, they have to turn in their passport to the government. They don't want it to leave the country. So like, because for us, it's like, we want our wedding to be a celebration with our family, with people who we love. And then it will be really bummed that my parents cannot make it. So we pushed it. But even now, looking at the July, I'm not sure. But fingers crossed, they can come.
So how do you feel about just like wedding traditions? Like, as someone that, you know, you've said that you're not as traditional, like, do you want to wear the big white dress? Are you going to take his last name? Like, where do you stand with that stuff?
Wedding traditions are so stupid. Like,
so
I feel
dumb.
Like, dumb, so dumb. And then to be honest, like this, okay, this engagement ring thing, like I never had a thing with engagement ring.
No,
like,
why do you really?
Spend that? It was like, why do you spend that much money on this ring? So yeah, there's so many levels of things. I don't get it. Like I think having a nice piece of jewelry is nice, but then is it worth that much money?
Right. Like, mm-hmm. like salary. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can have a really nice honeymoon, make it nicer. Right. And then also, why is it supposed to be a surprise? Like, I feel like it's very weird. Like, you're supposed to be a surprise. Cause, like, I don't know. Like, just like if somebody's going to propose to me, because nobody says no really when the guy proposed, right? So you just gave so much power.
Well, you went, well. Yes.
Oh, okay.
You did. I sure have. because it was a surprise.
Because you were a surprise. But I shouldn't hear what you're saying, Bernice. It's like, if you're building a life with someone, why would it be a surprise that you're going to like build a life? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're giving the guy the control of when to propose, mm-hmm. yes or no, whether to propose. I don't know. Like, I want to get married and like, let's get married. So there's that right. already. And then spending so much time. Oh, okay. So the part, like, we were going to have a Chinese wedding and a American wedding because my mom needs to get her money back, right? So like that's the thing. But for Chinese wedding, it's very easy because there is mm-hmm. a company that does this package. You show up, they bring out the package. Like, okay, where everything. Do you want it to be? Yeah, they do everything. You can have 12 dresses on the day of your wedding. You rent them. And so you do costume change. So it's much less costly and your guest will give you money. So it's less work. You don't have mm-hmm. to plan so far ahead and it costs less. You ended up with more money. But American wedding, you have to, like every guest you invite, the more you invite, the money, the more you cost. Yes. It's a loss for you. I don't get that part.
Yes. So just as someone that's never been to a Chinese wedding, because I get like in American weddings, you give a gift, but you have to pay for like the whole thing for the person. How is it different in terms of making this money? Like,
you fucking kidding. Make money from Chinese but weddings. Yeah. That's oh, like yeah. the best part.
Is your cost just like way low that you don't have any? Or
because your guests give you so much fucking money.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's like yeah. way more than, okay,
oh,
got
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah.
Depending on their relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a little competitive too. It's like, I think a lot of them at the new year, but then I think at the wedding, they keep track of how much money they gave. And that's kind of, if it's
oh
too little, it's like, it's supposed to, like, it makes you lose face. Yeah. It's a
yes.
thing.
Ah,
yeah.
There's like a status. Interesting.
There is a status.
At Chinese weddings, they hire someone to come around to collect the red envelopes.
Yeah.
And oh they come God. Around with a sheet, write your name and how much you gave.
Oh yeah. my God. So, okay, so it's just like a lot more out in the open than at the U.S. weddings.
And the closer you are to the family of the bride and groom, the more money you give. And you could give up to like, some people get like $10,000, $20,000. I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So you
yeah.
couples love having weddings in China because you fucking make money.
Wow.
But in the U.S., it's the reverse. You go in debt.
Because it yeah. costs so much to throw them.
Because it's so
also.
Expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So were you going to take his last name? Like, how do you feel about those traditions?
Yeah, I never really planned to take the last name. yeah. Oh, there's a, because I feel first of all, taking the last name is just, is weird for me. Because in Chinese family, we never change the last name.
Oh, okay.
Right? Like, you mm-hmm. know, it's like, mm-hmm. we don't change it. And so to me, just naturally, okay, life is hard. The less I need to do, the better, right? Like, yeah. I mean, why do I have to be the one to go to all the credit
yes.
cards,
yeah.
lessons to change all that? Like, and also feel like, not saying the divorce, but I always like, you got to talk about everything. So, oh,
yeah.
then putting all the work on the women, that's
yeah.
awesome. Yeah. And for me, I don't want to walk around as Bernice Reichardt. I mean, like... I can't, like, I mean, I walk around and show, hey, I'm Bernice Reichardt. And then just like, show me your ID. And then just life is too hard, you know?
Life
and I was, yeah, I was talking about if I apply for a job, right? Like, they see my resume, like Bernice Reichardt. They don't even know I'm a diversity hire.
Like, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was a hiring manager. Yeah, I was a hiring manager, you know, company too. Like, I know it. We need to have a diversity. We want women. Okay, diversity.
Yeah, they see your last name. They're like, nah, just another white lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
is such a good point. While we're at it, because you're so hilarious, can you just do a quick bit from your Sheng Yu stand up? Just a quick bit, what you said about it.
Okay. Well, I mean, I will try to just talk into you guys, because otherwise, I don't know how they sound, right? Like, yeah. But you guys already know, like in China, women over 30 were called Sheng Yu, leftover women. And, you know, I guess, you know, turning around, I think I am like leftover pizza. Yeah, delicious.
Yes.
And cold.
So good.
Yeah, I am a cold heart bitch.
Oh my God, I love it.
Oh, you're the best.
For the people that this is resonating with, like the people that are like, I do feel that pressure. I don't want to feel that pressure. What's some advice you have for them to kind of get out of their own heads that like they have to do all this stuff by 30?
Okay, so I'm trying to see what the way. Okay, so the thing that I come up for myself is I was like, you know, if you are just think about like that very unique, special designer handbag on the shelf, right? Mm-hmm. And the more unique, the more special you are, the longer you will take to sell, because you need to find that special buyer who see that click with you. But if you just a very generic, like a mass fast fashion, yeah, you will sell very quickly. But then like, just hold on to your own, like be you, be the special you. And then when you have that special buyer find you, you will take longer, but it will be better. So that's kind of what I come up with that.
You know what? I definitely, this might be like a convenient theory for you, but I remember like looking up on like Google and seeing there was a stat that, you know, more intelligent women tended to stay single longer.
Yeah.
You know, so there is some, I think there is some truth of this like more complex people. Sometimes it does take longer than, you know, like if it's more just like, I'm going to go with what I know is a tradition and do the thing that I've always been told to do. I think the more you overthink things and think about like, what is it I really want, that might, you know, change the trajectory.
And then the other thing I think about is like, you know, at the end of the day, your own happiness is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Your grandparents, they die. Your parents, they die.
Oh my God, so
your
true.
Your friends, they die. Like, so you got to live for yourself.
Well, that's a great segue to takeaways, because I don't...
Everybody dies. That was my takeaway. Everybody dies.
I mean, I think like what I'm getting from this is so much of this is sexist and misogynist too. So I think we really need to like break away where so much of this is coming from before we feel bad about our situations. It's so easy to just be like, I should do this or I shouldn't do this, because that's what you're being fed. But taking that second to think of like, what is it I actually really want and what really will make me happy? We have that luxury. I love that we were talking about the different generations and how different generations maybe didn't have that luxury. But in this day and age, we do. So I think there's no shame in holding out. I think if anything, we should be applauded for holding out to find someone that meets our needs, not shamed for it in any way.
Mm-hmm. My takeaway is you just got to do you. The traditions were there for a reason. Yes, they worked for our ancestors. It does not mean that they work for us. We can fully respect and embrace traditions. It does not mean we need to carry out the traditions for our own lives. It's good to know where we came from. That's always great to know our family history. Mm-hmm. But moving forward, know that you have the power to change it for future generations to come. So hearing this conversation, I'm completely inspired by the fact that you can create a life that's completely different than what you thought it would be, but you created it. And that is absolutely okay. Also, just everything is normal. Whatever you're going through right now, it's just meant to be. It's normal. If you're married, it's normal. If you're not married, that's normal.
Right.
Because that's your life. And I've really felt that since moving to the States, putting the focus on myself has been a really hard thing to do, but also one of the most enlightening things to do is that I was not put on this earth to please other people. I was put on this earth to live my best life and to be happy. And I can choose that happiness without being the shadows of other people's expectations. Because if you saw in our example, the more you try to please other people, nobody gets pleased. At the end of the day, nobody's happy. So focus on yourself. Focus on yourself. And Bernice, you talking about your parents being so happy now because they're finally focusing on themselves, that makes you so happy. Yes. So that's like such a win-win situation. So I really feel like we can all take that stand and say, I'm going to focus on my own happiness first. My very last takeaway is the more we can study about other cultures and how they view dating, love, and sex, the more it puts a different perspective on how we view our own lives. So I really hope that this conversation was able to shed some light for some of our listeners on what they're going through and maybe some new epiphanies or learnings, because we can always learn from each other and we can just keep this conversation going all the time.
Just to add really quick, I think you touched something really important that, you know, there's nothing wrong with being single. There's nothing wrong with being in a relationship. It's funny that you're getting like booed for being engaged now.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I think we a lot of times like make our identity around a relationship, like either being in a relationship or not being in one. And I feel like everything else in life, it's a season and things change. It's not that you're always going to be single. And if you're in a relationship, you may become single again. Yes. I think it's how can you be you and adapt to those different stages. And there's positives and negatives in every stage of life. I think like, you know, as someone that's now in a relationship, like I love being with my partner and being so happy with him. But sometimes I'm like, oh, I just wish I had that like Friday night that I could do nothing and veg out that I used to have like all that flexibility. Mm-hmm. So I think there's always a positive and negative to everything. And it's up to us to not just get bogged down in the negatives.
For sure. So Bernice, what did you learn from us? What are your takeaways from us?
I have like so much takeaway in the sense of like, because for me, this whole cultural perspective, I mean, like I really resonate with what you were saying here, was like the more we learn other culture, the more we have perspective. And then like the thing is about accepting all this are not normal, right? Like I think the part is like, we're getting into a world where more and more of what's right, what's wrong, what's black and what's right. And then the thing, if we're really trying to create an understanding, and then like I feel like we're all one, and we're there's different ways we should support. They're all normal, whether traditional or new, because yeah, so that's number one. Shoot, the other thing that came up, oh, what Julie was saying, the identity. I feel like sometimes we mix labels with our identity. Mm-hmm. We associate ourselves with all kinds of labels. Oh, we're single, we're in a relationship, I'm Asian, and then I'm like, you know, I'm straight, I'm gay. We associate our identity with the labels. But in fact, it's really about being who we are, because there are times you might lose that label and then you don't want to lose your identity. And I feel like,
so well put.
I think that's what I also think there needs to be holidays and events for single people. Like, it isn't fair that you give all these gifts and money to everyone else and you don't
China,
ever
have Singles Day.
Good.
But it's for shopping.
But it's all shopping.
For shopping.
I think the other like big takeaway to like wrap this up though is, you know, it's usually not coming from a bad place when your parents are really in your business.
That's true.
It's coming from a place of wanting the best for you. Do they know what's always the best for you? Probably not, considering we're in a different world. But I think that is where it's coming from. So I guess last question for you, Bernice. Like, if you do have a nosy parent, especially as the holidays roll in, like what's like one tip to kind of get them off their back about their about your relationship status?
Oh, just imagine, hypothetically speaking, I have a very, you know, the thing is for me, it's easy. Okay. Well, cause like, you know, in China, you can say whatever, cause like they don't have social media. They don't have like, you can fake a lot of things. They cannot cross check. They can't. Like, you send a picture, oh, I'm with this guy, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you survive one holiday, the next holiday you break up, and it's easy, you know, so.
Just break up January 1st, no big deal.
Yeah, just survive one.
Rent a partner. I think we should start that service.
Hire a boyfriend for the holiday. Yep,
exactly.
That exists.
Send us your photo, we'll Photoshop them in. It's only $25. I'm just kidding.
And add a dog too. At a dog.
Exactly. Oh, always. Yeah.
Well, didn't UAU like didn't correct your grandfather for thinking that like Mojo was your kid, not your
yeah,
dog?
Yeah, my grandfather passed away thinking that I was married with a son, and that's
oh my god.
And nobody corrected him. They were like, yeah, my son being a furball, like he's a dog. But my grandpa said something to my dad, like, how's her rambunctious son or something like that. And my dad's like, good.
Oh my God.
It's a good boy.
Technically not a lie, just not the truth either.
You know, sometimes, you know, for our grandparents' generation,
yeah,
let's just keep them in the bubble.
Right, yeah. Right. They're like, at least they die happy, you know, like
yeah, feel exactly. Yeah. They yeah. die exactly. happy. So Bernice, for people who want to see you either live in person or online, where is a good place for them to find out more about you?
Awesome. Yeah, so I put a lot of my schedule shows and some of the contents on Instagram. It's at Bernice Comedy. And then I talk about cultural stuff on TikTok. It's also at Bernice Comedy. I am doing a tour. Like, so I'm yeah. taking the RV from Seattle, drive down the coast and to San Francisco, LA, ooh, San Diego. Nice. So on my website, I will list all the shows and the tour schedules at BerniceYet.com. Oh,
we are totally going to meet when you roll through San Francisco and LA.
Oh, you okay. Yeah. I'll hit you both then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we're going to be friends.
Oh my God. I can't wait. I can't wait to hang out. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, I'm gonna get everybody's gonna come. Thank you so much again for this conversation. You are just as smart as you are hilarious. So your fiance is very lucky man.
Tell him that.
Yeah.
But he can listen.
I will play this part of the podcast
yeah,
to
exactly.
him.
Yeah. It'd be like, surprise, honey. You know. For all of our listeners, we also feel the love when you give us 5 stars in Apple Podcasts and give us a nice little review. It just makes our day, and we know that you, if you're enjoying this content, you know, show us a little validation, if you will. We really appreciate it. And with that said, we're going to wrap up this episode.
Stay dateable.
The Dateable Podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
Want to continue the conversation? First, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle @DateablePodcast. Tag us in any post with the hashtag #StayDateable, and trust us, we look at all those posts. Then head over to our website, datablepodcast.com. There you'll find all the episodes, as well as articles, videos, and our coaching service with vetted industry experts. You can also find our premium Y series, where we dissect, analyze, and offer solutions to some of the most common dating conundrums. We're also downloadable for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Overcast, Stitcher Radio, and other podcast platforms. Your feedback is valuable to us, so don't forget to leave us a review. And most importantly, remember to stay dateable.